it again? Will it be the same? But I'm not sure if I'll remember your name, but I'll remember your face and all the chase and all the walk of shame.
Hello and welcome to my podcast, Everyone Andy Ever Slept With. In this episode, it's actually a continuation from my fourth episode where I was talking about my ex-boyfriend, James. If you did listen to the episode, I ended up dating someone by the name of Stephen. I've done a fifth episode since then, but as this story in the timeline, I'm not sure where it actually fits, so it could have been before the fifth episode or after, I'm not sure. But just a bit of a background on the series and episodes in general. My name is Andy, of course, and this is my podcast series about everyone I've ever slept with, all my sexual encounters. And I'm still in the early days at this point because it's only episode number 5. And more of a background to that. So I live in Melbourne, Australia. So most of my experiences have been in Melbourne, Australia. And I'm still talking about my experiences or encounters from my early days when I was a teenager. So I'm still in the 1990s, and this goes back to 1997 or 1998. So in the fourth episode, I did talk about a guy named James that I dated for a while. When I was dating James, I would have still been in high school or just out of high school, and I had a job trial at a cafe in Melbourne. It was a cafe that was on one of the main streets in Melbourne City, like probably the most popular street at the time, Swanston Street. It was a cafe called Crown Cafe Bakery. Not to be confused with the famous Crown Casino in Melbourne, which actually opened up a bit later. Now, remember when Crown Cafe opened, the owner of this cafe tried to sue them over the name, and I don't think they were successful. Anyway, so I went for a job trial at this cafe, and I remember the owner, her name was a girl named Julie or Judy. She was Vietnamese, I think, and she was a nice person. But she really didn't explain what the job description was when she sent me in for the trial. So she just sort of said, go behind the counter and work hard. That's all she said. So I went in for this job trial. I've never had a job before. I had a few trials, but this was my never been employed anywhere before. And I was put behind the counter, didn't really know what I was meant to do. So all these, there was someone behind the espresso machine to my left making coffee, someone to my right washing dishes, and then a few people taking orders at the cashier machine. I wasn't even sure if I was meant to be taking orders. I didn't know how to use the cash machine. So anyway, when all this food started coming up, they had dockets on it with table numbers. And I was like, oh, that's what I can do. I can run the food out, because I could see the table number on the docket and the table numbers on the table. So I was just running out food, going back to the kitchen, occasionally washing some of the dishes and things like that. And I was there for about 3 hours. And when I was there, there was another guy who was working there. He wasn't on a trial. He was already employed. His name was Stephen. He was about the same age as me. I noticed when I first met him, he just seemed really interesting and he was quite cute, but I didn't think that he was gay. I thought, oh, he might be gay. He seems a little bit gay, but I wasn't completely sure. But he kept giving me advice throughout my trial, saying, oh, you should do this and you should do that. Just make sure you look like you're always busy. He was trying to help me get the job, which is really nice of him. Anyway, by the end of the day, I did not get the job. And the owner, Julie, came up to me and she just sat me down and said, I'll give you a call, which means you didn't get the job. And she said, do you want a drink before you go? I was just like, oh yeah, I'll have a can of Coke. So that's what I got paid for my 3-hour trial, which was what the scenario at the time. Like, if you went for a trial somewhere, you don't get paid. She gave me a can of Coke. So anyway, I just went home after that trial, not expecting to see the guy I met there, Stephen, ever again. But then, my partner at the time, James, he went to a party within the next few days. And at the party, he met all these random people. I wasn't at the party. And he was, you know, they were asking him, you know, what do you do? Do you have a partner? And he's like, yeah, I've got a boyfriend. And they're like, show me a photo of your boyfriend. And he showed them a photo of me and him. And there were two people at the party. One of them was Stephen. Another one was the Gil, who I worked with at the trial as well. And they're both like, oh my God, we know that guy. He had a job trial with us. And yeah, so my partner coincidentally met people from the job trial as well. So then, yeah, my partner James said, oh, these people are having another party like a week later. You should come along. So I went to their party a week later and I got to meet Stephen. I got to meet one of the other girls I had the job trial with as well. So Stephen and this other girl from that job at the Crown Cafe Bakery lived together with another girl. And yeah, we got to hang out and meet them. And then after a while, if you listened to the previous episode, you would have known, like, Stephen was having parties literally every weekend. And me and my partner at the time, James, were going to all these parties. And then at some point, me and James and Stephen had ended up becoming a threesome couple. What do you call it? Not monogamous, but whatever that word is. I can't remember right now. It'll come to me. But yeah, the three of us started dating as a threesome rather than just me and James being together. And then at some point, James left that threesome and it went really sour with me and James and Stephen and James. But me and Stephen just stayed together. So me and Stephen stayed together for only a few weeks, actually. But I was, even though it was only a few weeks, I was still really young. And I really liked Stephen. I felt like a lot of connection with him. And it just felt really coincidental how we met. Like a city of 3.5 million people, I just had a job trial with him. Never expected to see him ever again. And then, you know, a week later, I'm at a party where he's at because he met my boyfriend the week before. Like it's just, it was really coincidental. and to me, it was more than a coincidence. Like it was, I felt like it was meant to happen in a way as well. Whether that be the case or not, it doesn't matter, but that's just how it felt to me. So anyway, me and Stephen dated for another few weeks after we broke up or after James left the picture. And James gave both of us a really hard time in that period as well. He just wasn't happy about that either. But he was the one that chose to left the threesome, so that's his own issue. And then after a few weeks, Stephen broke it off with me as well. And I don't know why. Now I don't care. At the time, I was a bit heartbroken, but I got over it. I wasn't angry. I just pretended it was all right. And yeah, that was fine. And me and Stephen didn't see each other for a while after that. And then maybe about a year and a bit later, we started running into each other again, just sort of at random, not even gay clubs, just at random pubs around, you know, Collingwood, Fitzroy, around Melbourne. And we started hanging out again. And I remember when we started hanging out again for the second time, I was dating someone new who will come into my later episodes. He's a guy named Amos. But then at some point, yeah, again, me and Stephen started dating again. And this is when he had moved into a share house in Collingwood. So Collingwood is this like a gay village area in Melbourne, like where a lot of gay people live. It's really close to all the gay bars and stuff like that. And he lived in a share house with two other gay guys, so Ben and this other guy named Luther, and two other girls. I remember one of the girls, her name was Jo, this girl from Tassie, and another girl whose name I cannot remember. It was a big terrace house, like a double or triple story house, so it was like wall to wall with other houses. And he was having parties all the time, so me and my friend at the time... just like the first house. But me and my friend at the time, or my best friend at the time, his name was Scott, and we'd always go to Stephen's parties at this new house he was living at. And so my friend Scott started getting with Stephen's housemate Ben, and me and Stephen got back together. And again, it was only for about a month or something. But in that month, we're hanging out maybe twice a week. And in that period of time, I actually don't remember ever having sex. Or I'm pretty sure we did. Can't remember if we went all the way. Don't think we did, but it was more about the hugging in bed, kissing when we went out, you know, going out for drinks and meeting people and just hanging out and having a really great time, and hanging out with his housemates at his house and just, you know, having tea, watching movies, watching TV. His housemates were really cool, and it was really like handy because my friend Scott was dating his housemate Ben and they were together and loving each other, and me and Stephen were together loving each other. And then the other housemate, Luther, he was just there. And the other housemate, Jo, and her, the other girl, she was always there. And they were great people to hang out with. And then after some period of time, Stephen said, I don't think it's working. Let's break up. And again, I was heartbroken again, even a second time. But I just really liked him back then. But again, I pretended it didn't bother me. And it probably bothered me for about a week. And then I was just like, you know what? I'll find someone else. And he's a good friend, so I'm happy to keep him as a friend. And then after some point, I got with his housemate, Lusa. Me and Lusa never actually had sex, but we kissed quite a lot at the parties and stuff. And then the other housemate, Ben, who was with my friend Scott, I got with Ben eventually later as well. But I'll talk about that in later episodes because me and Ben spent a lot of time together. So I think that's definitely worthy of another episode. And he became part of my, he was someone I was with later in my life as well. So it would definitely suit further later episodes as well. So then that house ended up ending where they all lived, the share house in Collingwood. And they all moved out and I wouldn't really see much of them again except for Ben and Stephen, of course. And so me and Stephen, I'd actually gone overseas at some point and I'd come back a year and a half later. And I ran into Stephen again, just randomly at some pub, not even a gay bar somewhere. It was just a pub. And we were hanging out. We got drunk together and I went back to his house. He invited me back to his house. At this time, he was living in another share house with different people, but in the other side of town, like in St. Kilda, which is like another sort of gay village of Melbourne as well, but the other side of town. And I'd gone back to his house. And I remember that night going back to his house to this one for the first time. Just to give a bit of a background of where it was, we have this theme park in Melbourne called Luna Park, which is kind of famous. It's one of our icons of the city of Melbourne. And behind Luna Park, which a lot of people probably don't know, even people that live in Melbourne, is that's where the male street workers are, the male sex workers. They're all on this street called Shakespeare's Grove. And Stephen just lived on that street. So every time I went back to his house, including that night, we were walking back to his house and the street workers come up to you saying, oh, hey, do you want some fun and things like that? And you just have to throw them off or whatever. So I'd gone back to Stephen's house that night after not even seeing him for like a year and a half. And then I remember I was so drunk when I got back to his house, probably also even high. And I was so drunk, we were kissing in his room. And I ran to his bathroom to throw up because my head was spinning. And when I threw up, I remembered, I don't want to go back into his room. And I think at the time, we're probably still hanging out with these housemates as well. And I'd gone, so in the bathroom after throwing up, I'm like using his, like in the bathroom I'm not familiar with, just using all the toothpaste I can find to try and get rid of that vomit smell from my mouth and gargling like this random housemate's toothpaste to get rid of that vomit smell. And then I went back to the room and then he just started pashing me again. So obviously I got rid of the vomit smell or he didn't care. And then we ended up having sex. And I think that was the first time we went all the way together. So by this point in my life, as you know, as I said from the beginning, I met Stephen when I was first 17. I'm now 24-ish, maybe 23, 24, I'm not sure. And we went all the way for what I think was the first time with him anyway. And he was a top. Oh, at this point, he was a top anyway. And, and we had sex. And I remember him fucking me in his room, which he just had, like, this futon on the floor, like, because he was still young in uni, didn't have proper furniture and stuff. And he fucked me. I remember he had a really big cock, and it was probably one of the biggest ones I'd actually taken at that point in my life. So I remember it hurting a bit and stretching a bit and I think I only managed it because I was so drunk somehow. Anyway, I do remember him coming and I think it was like on my back or something. And then that was the end of it. And then we both fell asleep in his room. And I remember in the morning when I woke up, he wanted to go at it again. And he was trying to fuck me again in the morning. And I was like, no, I cannot do it again. You're too big. And it's in the morning. It's just sometimes doesn't work for many reasons, as you know. And then I remember in the morning, I remember I had to walk to the tram stop. And it was sort of like a walk of shame because I had to walk through this shopping district in St. Kilda where there's like a bit of a mall and stuff. And And I would have looked really hungover. I would have looked really coming down. And I probably didn't even have like money on me to get the tram home or something. I can't remember. But I do remember feeling a bit embarrassed and really hungover the next day and making my way home. So that was that part of the story. But there's a few other times where I remember going back to Stephen's house also another time. And I can't remember. This was, again, before I'd gone overseas. So it would have been after he was living in that house in Collingwood. He actually also lived in a house on Brunswick Street above a shop that was run by a drag queen or M to F. It was like this little hippie shop. He lived above the shop, and I went back there once and stayed at his house. I can't remember if we went all the way that night either, but I remember that was interesting. I'd gone back there a few times, but I remember in the morning one night at that house he said, "Oh, I'll get you a coffee," thinking he was just going to come back with a express, like a instant coffee from the kitchen. But he'd actually gone across the road to the cafe and brought me back like a proper latte or something. That was interesting. I totally forgot about that house right up until now. I'm just trying to remember another story with Stephen that I had. Bear with me one sec. Yeah, I remember another time I ran into him at a club in Carlton, like not a club, like a pub, like a really bogan straight pub. And he was there with his partner at the time. And I think I was there with my friend Scott again, and we just hung out and had a really good time. And then I'm just trying to think of other scenarios where Stephen has come into my life. Oh, yeah. So, obviously, later in my life. So, I still know Stephen today, which is another interesting thing. He ended up dating... there was a girl I worked with, and she... One of her best friends was this gay guy. He was an artist, and she said, "Oh, my friend Ara is dating a guy named Stephen who you used to date." And I was like, "Oh, really?" So, I knew Stephen through that... connection as well. But there was another connection we had. I'm just trying to remember what it was. Cannot remember right now. Fuck, it will come to me. It's a really weird, random connection we had. Nah, it's gone. It'll come to me. I might have to record it at the end of this episode when it comes to me again. Yeah, anyway. But yeah, Stephen, still part of my life. The last time I saw him, he put on an art show, and coincidentally, it was just a few houses down from where I lived, like at someone else's house. I was just like, I saw it posted on, oh, actually, this is how it happened. Okay, so there was this rental car, and we in Melbourne, we have this thing called Car Next Door, and GoGet as well, and we had, a GoGet car on our street. I used to use it all the time, and so did a few people. And one of our neighbors asked for it to be removed. She complained to council and the car got removed. And I was a bit annoyed because I didn't own a car. I was using this rental car all the time. So I actually put a letter in all my neighbors' letterboxes, even neighbors I didn't know. And one of the guys responded, one of my neighbors about, you know, 10 houses up the road. I never met him before. He responded and said, "I used to use that car as well. I'll support you in trying to get the car back to the street so we could all use it again." And then he said, "By the way, I'm having a art exhibition at my house. You should come." And he said, then he sent me a link to the art show he was doing at his house. And guess who one of the artists was? It was Stephen. So I ended up going there and running into Stephen again after not seeing him for a few years as well. And then also, yeah, I went to another art show that one of my friends was doing arts at, and he was one of the other artists as well, and I didn't know that till I went there. And there was just a really random scenario where we hooked up again. I can't remember what it was, but it'll come to me. I might have to record it at a later date when I remember it because it was really coincidental. But it just feels like every time Stephen has come into my life, it's just been so coincidental. And we've always just ended up getting along really well. And even though we dated a few times and it, you know, never really worked out, but we were always, yeah, really civil with each other. And we're still not like great mates. And I remember now, this is the other funny story. So when I was younger, again, this is going back to when I was, I think, 21 or 22, and I had never left the state of Australia before in my life. I'd never left, I'd never been on a plane, never done anything. I'd been working at this cafe now for about 2.5 years, and I'd saved up a lot of money. Like, I had about $3,000 Australian dollars, which, you know, probably isn't much for a lot of people these days. But back then, for me, when you're that old, that's a lot of money. And I didn't know what to do with it. And my friends were like, or my colleagues at work were like, you should go on a holiday. Just go to Sydney. You've never been interstate before. You've never been on a plane. Just go on a holiday, you know. I was like, yeah, I'll do that. So I decided to go up to Sydney and, you know, go up there to see another mate named Robbie. Because he had moved up there recently. Robbie also knew Stephen, who's just another mutual friend. So I just messaged Robbie, said, hey, I'm coming up to Sydney. I'm going to stay there for a couple of weeks. And then Robbie's like, yeah, that sounds amazing. Let's hang out. I arrive in Sydney, and on the day that I arrive, I get a text message from Stephen saying, are you in Sydney? I'm like, yeah, I'm in Sydney. He's like, I just came to Sydney just on a random spur of the moment thing, which is same how I went to Sydney, random spur of the moment thing. And Stephen's like, are you kidding me? You're in Sydney. I'm like, yeah, you're kidding me. You're in Sydney. Like, how did this happen? He'd also had never been to state before, never left, never been to Sydney before. And we both happened to rock up in Sydney at the same time. And we ended up hanging out in Sydney. Yeah. So I was there I was only in Sydney for about 2 weeks, and I spent most of my time staying at my cousin's house while Stephen stayed elsewhere as well. But we caught up in Sydney, every second day or something, and just hung out with some of our old mates from Melbourne that were living there at the time, a guy named Robbie, another guy named Andy. That was just really coincidental as well. So my Sydney experience as well, that first one in particular, I've got a few episodes about that later. And yeah, just also about Stephen, I remember also he lived in this house on Johnson Street in Collingwood. I remember they had a lot of parties there that I went to as well. My brother used to go to those parties too. So yeah. All right. I think this episode is getting too long now. I'm going to have to cut it short, but I could probably talk about Stephen forever. But yeah, just random coincidental connections with that guy. Yeah, just really interesting and always, you know, positive, except the time we had that sour issue with our ex-partner, James, who also was Robbie's ex-partner, but that's a later episode as well. Anyway, thanks for listening to this long, elongated story that might get a bit boring. I hope you are still intrigued in listening to the next episode. I'll speak to you then. All right, bye. Thanks. And all the cheese, and all the-